Good evening. I'm Kermit Paulding. This evening is the first of a series of programs investigating the school dropout rate throughout the country and also here at home. Over the next few months, we'll be looking at the causes of truancy and dropouts, the economic impact on our young people and our economy, governmental issues surrounding education, and much more. I want to thank you for joining us in this first program in our series, Youth in Jeopardy, The Dropout Crisis. In tonight's program, we'll be looking in particular at truancy and absenteeism and how they lead to dropping out. And this evening, I'm joined in the studio by Kathy Boyette of the Alliance for Education and also Janice Thompson from Volunteers for Youth Justice. I want to thank you both for joining me tonight. And for those of you listening to throughout the region, Caddo Parish is where the studios of Red River Radio are located. And although this is a national issue, we'll also be looking quite closely at issues in Caddo Parish. Also, we will be welcoming your calls tonight at 800-552-8502. Now, nationwide, about 1 million children drop out of school before graduation each year. In Louisiana, the cohort graduation rate is a measure of how many students enter the ninth grade and graduate 4 years later. In 2009-2010 school year, Louisiana had a cohort graduation rate of 67.4%. So basically, overall in Louisiana, we're only graduating about two-thirds of our students. Texas rates is close to Louisiana's, but if you look at our region, the Caddo Parish School District had a cohort rate of 58%, tied for the 10th worst in the state. Natchitoches Parish, ninth from the bottom of the list, with a cohort graduation rate of 57.8%. Red River Parish, also in our region, was eighth from the bottom at 57.1%. Now, interestingly, in contrast, Bossier Parish had a 75.9% graduation rate, and Arkansas's overall claims a graduation rate of about 74%. But whether we're looking at three out of four graduating or just, you know, barely one out of every two, there still are a lot of students that are passing through our school system and not receiving their education for one reason or another. Now, the numbers I quoted are generally looking at students from grades 9 through 12. Kathy, 42% of high school students in Caddo Parish, they enter the ninth grade, they're lost along the way before graduation, and this was 2010. But if you look at students from the eighth grade to graduation, it's even a larger number, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. Based on the analysis that the Alliance for Education has done, using enrollment and graduation data provided by the Caddo Parish school system, we have estimated that less than 50% of eighth graders will graduate in Caddo Parish high schools 5 years later.
So what are the signs that a child might be at risk for dropping out of school?
Actually, they're very reliable indicators based on research that's been done around the nation. Middle school students in particular, you can identify those students at greatest risk for dropping out and failing to graduate based on their attendance records, their behavior referrals, and their reading and math achievement. Mm-hmm. If a student has any one of those risk factors, they are likely to drop out. If a student has all three indicators, it's as if the student is sitting in class, waving a red flag, saying, "Look at me, I'm not going to be here 5 years later, 6 years later."
Okay. One of the, you said major risks of the indicators is, of course, absenteeism or,
yes,
or truancy. So when we're looking at the overall dropout rate, why is that particular indicator so important?
For one thing, absenteeism, whether it's chronic absenteeism, which is a student just being absent, although their absences are excused, or whether a student is truant, they're absent but they're unexcused. Mm-hmm. In either situation, the student is missing a number of days of school. That's an indication the student's not engaged and they're not in class, they're not learning, they're falling behind. So they're most likely going to have academic issues as mm-hmm. well as absence issues.
Right. And of course, if they've missed a lot of school, catching up becomes harder and harder the more they miss.
Becomes harder and harder. This is something that Janice and I have discussed at length. The fact that even the best students have difficulty when they miss two or three days in a row mm-hmm. because of illness. Mm-hmm. You've missed class, you've not heard the lectures, although you may have done the homework. You're sitting in class when you return, and, you know, you've not been there. You don't know what's going on. You've missed classroom discussion. So it's really difficult to get back in the swing of things.
Mm-hmm. Getting into the definitions of chronic absenteeism versus truancy. We'll assume that the chronic absenteeism is something that generally the parents are going to know about, or the guardian. You know, they've been sick, you know, as you said, excused. But truancy has a couple of different layers, because you have situations where the parents seem to acknowledge, okay, yeah, my kid's just not going to school, and don't really seem to want to or are unable to do something about it, and others where they simply don't know. How are those addressed?
Well, generally, children in the lower grades, elementary students, mm-hmm. The parents will know that their children are absent from school. It's really the middle school and high school where the parents may not be aware that their children are missing school. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, what the Alliance would encourage, and I believe Ms. Thompson and the Volunteers for Youth Justice would encourage, is that parents really get on the Caddo Parish School System website and check up on their children to find out if they're in school, if they're doing their homework. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult in those cases that if a parent doesn't know, because no one's really doing anything about it except the school.
Right. Of course, you're mentioning Caddo Parish in particular there, and I know that's your specialty, but pretty much most school systems anymore have access to that kind of information online, don't they?
I believe most systems in Northwest Louisiana do have a website where parents can check up on their children, mm-hmm. Check up on their lessons, check up on their behavior referrals, their absences. There'll also be notices from the school when they're going to be parent-teacher events, when they're going to be football games, basketball games, or other school events.
You mentioned that in earlier years, parents are, of course, more likely naturally to know their students, their child's attendance. Are there any indicators, though, in those early years that might lead one to be able to stop future truancy in its tracks? Anything that we look at in younger students that's an indicator of what's going to happen later on?
Based on studies that have been published, there are things that we know about absences that we can recognize probably as early as third or fourth grade.
Okay.
That will indicate a student is at greater risk to drop out.
Okay. These indicators are?
Based on the absences.
Okay.
And usually a lot of the absences in those lower grades have to do with sort of social issues within the home, social service issues, poverty, transportation, illness in the family. Kids don't have school supplies. They don't have uniforms. They may be responsible for caring for a younger sibling, staying home to babysit younger siblings because the parents go to work. Those are all things you see with children, even in elementary school. And those are situations that can be rectified if an investigation is done and you determine this is why the child is absent. Because there are a number of social service and community resources that can be put in place to help that child remain in school and offer assistance to the family.
Let's talk a little bit in both your cases, Janice. I don't want to leave you on the sidelines here, but you're both with organizations and that work differently, but with the same goals in mind. Why don't you talk a little bit about what the Alliance for Education does, especially in regards to addressing truancy? And Janice, if you would do the same for the for Volunteers for Youth Justice as well, I'd appreciate that, if you would.
The Alliance for Education is a nonprofit organization, and we're really a policy advocacy organization that identifies evidence-based practices to help improve the quality of education, but not just education, but to help the overall system of education. And in the case of truancy, about 4 years ago, we began looking at the graduation rate in our community. Mm-hmm. And the Alliance was partnering with the Community Foundation on the Learning to Finish initiative. Mm-hmm. And as we were looking at the graduation rates, we began looking at what we could do to increase those graduation rates. And that's when we began finding these research reports that identified absence as an mm-hmm. issue. When we did, we discovered that there was really no program or no intervention mechanism in place in Caddo Parish to deal with middle school and high school truancy. Mm-hmm. There was a truancy assessment service center that handled some elementary student truancy, but there was nothing for middle and high school students. And so we gathered some stakeholders together from the school system, the DA's office, the juvenile court, and some nonprofits, and we said, okay, this is an issue. We have studies that have been done by eminent researchers at Johns Hopkins over the past two or three decades from Baltimore and Philadelphia schools that show us that middle school students, those students in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, when those students miss more than 5 of the first 30 days of school, 75% of those students will not graduate. Mm. It wasn't a probability. This was a hard, cold fact. 3 out of every 4 of those students were not going to graduate. And we said, here in Caddo Parish, we can identify those students. We know who is missing more than 5 of the first 30 days of school. Yet we have no way of intervening. And what we did, we called these stakeholders together and said, what are the evidence-based practices that we can put in place to intervene? And the Alliance wrote a grant. The Community Foundation awarded that grant. And we worked with Volunteers for Youth Justice to put in place the Act Now Truancy Program.
Okay. Janice, why don't you talk a little bit about the Volunteers for Youth Justice and what you do?
Volunteers for Youth Justice is also a not-for-profit corporation. Mm-hmm. And just a segue into what Kathy said, in 2009, the Board of Directors and the Executive Director offered a plan in which the school attendance supervisors would partner with us and notify us. Initially, it was when it started in 2009, at 8 days, when there were absentees, unexcused absences, at 8 days. Mm-hmm. Within less than a year, we marked it at 5 days. They would make referrals to our office, and we had sort of a two-level process. One is we would invite the students and their parents to a mass conference, and in mass is what it was. It was about 125 students plus their parents. Oh, okay. And basically tried to educate them as far as the law and to tell them that we were here to try to ascertain what challenges they had in going to school. And if it was something simple, at the same time, the attendance supervisors were also at the court and location. So if there were things more complicated than just, oh, I don't have enough unexcused absences, I didn't happen to get them from the doctor, or if it was something that was bus related or something that could have an easy solution, then we were able to educate them as far as the law, tell them why we know it's important to attend school, and try to help motivate. If the second part of the process, if the student and the parent did not attend, we would schedule mandatory conferences in which the student and the parent or parents or guardians would meet with a FINS officer, a Families in Need of Services officer, who spent at least an hour and a half with them, evidence-based interviewing processes to determine what the actual needs of the child and or the family are, and then make referrals to service agencies or that address their specific needs.
Okay.
And to try to get them back on track in school and becoming self-actualized.
Right. You mentioned mandatory meetings. I want to get into that a little bit about what the laws specifically are, because mandatory implies there's some sort of legal action if you don't intend. But first, I want to mention to those of you listening that we are opening up this conversation for your phone calls tonight. So please give us a call at 800-552-8502. The number is 800-552-8502. This is the first in our series of programs, Youth in Jeopardy. The dropout crisis. Tonight in particular, we're dealing with truancy and absenteeism, but we welcome your questions relating to the issue. Again, 800-552-8502. Either one of you want to answer this. What are some of the social issues that happen when a child is truant, and how does it affect not only the child, but the community?
Well, for one, truancy is a status offense. It's a crime only if it's perpetrated by a child.
Okay.
An adult can't be truant.
Mm-hmm.
Truancy is considered a gateway crime,
mm-hmm.
like other status offenses, being ungovernable, being a runaway, drinking underage, smoking underage.
Mm-hmm.
And as a gateway crime, it does lead to more serious offenses if there's no intervention. Truancy, as a gateway crime, is a matter of public safety. It's a public safety issue. It can lead to increased crime rates. It's a cost to society, and then it increases our juvenile justice costs, our juvenile detention cost.
Mm-hmm.
If left unchecked, these juveniles become adults. We have higher criminal justice cost,
mm-hmm.
higher parish jail cost. Also, as far as social service cost, we know that children who drop out of school often have higher rates of unemployment. They also have higher incidence of health problems. They have higher incidence of criminal offenses and incarceration. They're at greater risk to need social services and government assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things add up and are an increased cost in terms of government cost. But also, you look at the fact that people who don't graduate from high school, they're not prepared to get well-paying jobs, if they can get jobs at all. So if they're unemployed, they're not paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not purchasing, so they're not paying sales taxes. Or if they have a low-paying job, then they're still not paying a lot of taxes. So you look at the increased social service and criminal justice cost, along with the lower taxes and income tax, property tax, sales tax that they're paying. It's really a double whammy for the community.
Really, even though it sounds like it's a small issue because it's an individual issue, this really is an issue that has a much higher cost. I realize that's what you're saying. We're going to go to our first phone call for the evening. This is James from Shreveport. Thank you so much for waiting. James, what's your question?
Hi. I'm a teacher in high school in Caddo Parish, and I want to first say I admire the work that both Kathy and Janice do, Career with It Outside of this call-in program. I'd like to ask Ms. Thompson, as a high school teacher, I've seen the benefits of the VYJ program. I've seen its actual concrete effects. I also read in the newspaper that there are funding issues and that perhaps the program was shut down because of a curtailment of funding. Could you tell us what the status of the VYJ truancy program is and what happened to it if it is gone and what's needed to get it reestablished?
Okay.
Yes, the VYJ truancy program started in 2009 with a gift from the Community Foundation of $210,000. In addition to that, the Office of Juvenile Justice, or OJJ as we call it, they also provided us funding for truancy probation officers. If in the informal process the FINS office wasn't able to assist children the way they should, to the degree that they needed, then sometimes children did have to be adjudicated by a judge, and then the truancy probation officers kicked in. The money that after the $210,000 that the Community Foundation gave to the Act Now truancy program, the Caddo Parish School Board voted to pick up the funding for the next year. Mm-hmm. They were able to allocate $180,000 to the effort. And in addition, we still had the OJJ funding for the truancy probation officers. However, as all of us know, funding opportunities are limited. And as of August 31st, the truancy program with Volunteers for Youth Justice had to end. We have not been able to secure resources. And although there are many people in the community who are working very hard to try to secure those so that we can address this urgent need.
Talk a little bit about the success of the program. So it's not funded at this point, but talk a little bit about what it accomplished in the while you had the funding.
When we had the funding, beginning in 2009, we served approximately 2,600 children here in Caddo Parish Schools. Mm-hmm. After that, for the year 2010, we were able to service 4,000 children and their families. And then the first part of 2011, the first one half of the year, we actually had referrals of 2,600 students. So if it had been extended through the year, we think it would be fair to say that we could serve close to 5,000, if not more, children mm-hmm. and their families. There have been a lot of successes. The collaboration between the community partners mm-hmm. is very heartening. On the individual level, though, that's where I find it the most rewarding. Mm-hmm. To see a child succeeding, to see a family succeeding, and to feel like that measures are in place where there's much better opportunity for a bright future.
Makes
incomparable.
Worthwhile. Our number again, 800-552-8502. My guests are Kathy Boyette of the Alliance for Education and Janice Thompson from Volunteers for Youth Justice, both based in Caddo Parish. And, of course, this is a region-wide and nationwide problem, but we'll be addressing it throughout the series, both regionally and on a much broader scale, especially as later on in the series we start looking at government issues. We do have our next caller, however, who has called 800-552-8502. This is Brent from Lufkin. Thank you for being patient. What's your question this evening?
Well, first of all, Kathy and Janice, I very much admire your dedication to education and trying to see our youth succeed and become productive members of society. And of course, education is a cornerstone in that effort. I have issue, however, with a Big Brother Orwellian approach to mandating education and making these meetings required and having penalties for parents that don't comply. People tend to value things that they have to pay for, and if you have to work hard to buy a home or buy a car, you value that thing. But if you're not paying for your education and you're not contributing towards it, it doesn't have value to you. So when you require people to comply with these programs, they look at it as a burden and an onus that you know has to be fulfilled rather than a privilege and a right to, you know, or an opportunity to get their children educated. And I'm concerned about the delivery system and mandating this, and I'm concerned about who's paying for it. I think that there needs to be more small community local involvement and grassroots involvement rather than having a a federal government and a big brother type approach to education. Do you have any comments on that?
Brent, this is Kathy. I'd like to comment on that. Actually, this is a local effort to provide truancy intervention services here in Caddo Parish. We don't have state funding, and we've not requested any federal funding. So, in essence, this is the local grassroots effort that you're talking about. Currently, our Louisiana law provides that a child is truant if they accrue 5 unexcused absences. So there is an obligation on law enforcement and the juvenile justice system to do something about it when a child becomes truant. And what this effort does, we call it a mandatory conference, but actually it's a voluntary proceeding. And I would stress it's a voluntary informal proceeding before formal truancy charges have been filed against the child. So although it's called mandatory, it's actually voluntary for the parent and the child to come in and meet with a Families in Need of Service officer so that they can be assessed and be offered what is in essence community-based services. Generally, they're not state agencies providing the services. They are community organizations that provide community-based services, community-based social services, after-school tutoring, conflict resolution, parent education classes to help strengthen the family and address the issues that are causing the child to be absent from school. So it's purely voluntary. It's done informally. There are no charges filed in court. And if the family is successful and the child stays in school and has no further absences, then there is nothing formal that occurs in court. So it is local grassroots. It's an informal, voluntary process. And it does allow the community to work with the parent and the school to address the needs of the child so that we can get them in school. Hopefully, they will succeed and graduate. I would also add that in Louisiana, education is not a privilege. Our Constitution provides that every child has a right to a public education. So those of us in the community, those of us in government, we can't just sit back and let parents do what they will. Those children have a right, and somebody has to see that they get that right fulfilled.
Brent, are you still holding on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, because you're in Lufkin, obviously, Texas, and the laws and, of course, the school districts are very, very different in Texas versus Louisiana, and for that matter, for Arkansas. Do you have a similar program to what they've been speaking about, either on the voluntary level or on the legislative level there in Lufkin?
I'm not aware of if we have a program in place like that or not, and I appreciate the clarification that you gave that this is a grassroots education. I mean, a grassroots program and initiative. So I appreciate the clarification, because I was under the impression that this was that you received federal dollars to do this. So.
I think that, I apologize, Brent. I think I probably did not communicate well, and I'm happy that Kathy was able to clarify it. I understand your concerns, but this is truly a neighborhood situation. We receive, it's a collaboration between every aspect of the community. And it is an informal process, so they are not required, even though we do use the term mandatory.
Okay,
and
all right.
So I do apologize.
Which is where I was getting to before mm-hmm. the call. Brent, thank you so much. It's a great, great comment, great question. Our number is 1-800-552-8502, 800-552-8502. Please feel free to call us as we discuss this issue tonight. Since we're talking a little bit about the laws concerning truancy, obviously you're both familiar with Louisiana law and here in Caddo Parish in particular. What are the laws concerning truancy? I guess basically what I'm getting to is who is held responsible for the truant child?
Actually, Kermit, there are different levels of responsibility.
Okay.
There is a responsibility placed on the school district. They are responsible at one absence for notifying the parent. They're responsible at three absences to take certain steps. They also have some responsibilities that are statutory in the Louisiana Revised Statutes. It lays out what the responsibilities of the Child Welfare and Attendance Office is regarding children who have certain absences. And they have to make determinations as to what's causing the child to be absent, and they have to offer particular services to resolve those absences.
Mm-hmm.
Then the law provides that if a child has five or more unexcused absences in a semester, and I believe it's five or more unexcused tardies. I'm not sure on that number.
They group those.
They group tardies.
Okay.
Tardies can be considered an absence for purposes of truancy.
Okay.
But once you have five unexcused absences, then the school system has the option to refer a child to the court, to the juvenile court, as a truant.
Mm-hmm.
And generally what a court will do when the child is referred for truant, a formal truancy petition or a formal status offense petition will be filed. And the status offense is what in Louisiana we call the Families in Need of Services petition,
mm-hmm.
will be filed. Under Louisiana law, there is an option for an informal process, which is what the truancy program has been doing. But actually, it's just the typical Families in Need of Services informal process.
Okay.
A child becomes truant, the school system refers them to the FINS office, which we've been referring to as the truancy program, but we do right. have FINS officers.
And then what are the services offered by FINS?
FINS, well, through the informal process, they will schedule what we've been calling the mandatory conference. And although it's called mandatory, it is a voluntary proceeding. The FINS officer will meet with the child and the parent and will also call in other service providers who may be able to help resolve the issue. There's generally a very extensive interview to determine what are the issues preventing this child from attending school.
Mm-hmm.
And a plan is developed, a plan of services. Not only services for the child, but services for the family if needed, for the
mm-hmm.
parent.
Mm-hmm.
And also you need to remember that so many of these children who are truant have siblings, younger siblings or older siblings, and they can be offered services through this what's called an informal family services plan. So it's truly a family plan. It's not just isolated for the child.
Do statistically, is there a pattern within families?
Yes.
Okay.
Historically, you will see that truancy It's within family
mm-hmm.
Situations. It's like one child in the family gets chicken pox, they're all going to get it.
Right. Makes sense.
And we do actually, we're typically seeing third and fourth generation circumstances in which the parents did not finish school here in Caddo Parish. Actually, I'm sorry to say, it's not uncommon that we're also seeing fifth generation.
Mm.
Just in the last 4 years that I've been in the Finn's office. So it is a family problem, and it is a community problem in addition to the individual student's problem.
Right. Our number again, 800-552-8502, 800-552-8502. I don't have the name of our next caller, but it looks like we have a caller from DeSoto Parish. Go ahead with your question this evening.
Yes, I just turned into the program and just, I didn't catch the start of it, but, you know, what I'm hearing, it's a real good program and that y'all had going on. So like the funding stopped for half the year. But, I just want to, I agree with what y'all are saying. It's like this younger generation coming up that because of the environment maybe they were in, that they haven't been exposed to some of the things that the people are actually helping them for is things that go on within their family that needs correcting, opportunities that could be made available to them. It's like they knew where to reach out. And it's like, I just really praise y'all for the work that you were doing or willing to do and the people that are willing to do that. And I just can't say enough about that because it's like this younger generation coming up. It really is up to them, the entrepreneurs, starting the businesses, to reach out and help others themselves as they're being helped. And, if y'all could, just put out the information to us, the people that are listening, because not only in Caddo Parish, maybe reach out to DeSoto Parish, call down here to Rodney Arbuckle, and talk to him and see if there's people willing to help y'all and maybe even spread it out into DeSoto Parish. If y'all could just give the information, contact people so that we could call in, I really would appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you so much for your call. And I imagine you have plenty of resources. Kathy's going through her list here on the page. I do want to tell you that we're going to list as many of the various resources available throughout our region on our website. It is redriverradio.org. And if you just click on the front of the our website there where it says Youths in Jeopardy right at the top of the page, that will take you to a page that has our upcoming programs, information, audio downloads, so you'll be able to hear these programs in the future, and also resources. But Kathy, I know you were going to jump in there, so I'll let you go ahead.
I was also going to add that the Louisiana Department of Education website lists a number of resources for parents. And the Alliance for Education website, which we're currently updating, will also have resources listed for parents to really address a number of issues, whether it's absenteeism or academic issues or behavioral issues. Parents will be able to access our website, which is alliance4education.org. And in the next several weeks, we will get our website updated. Parents will be able to visit our website and access resources that they can contact in the North Louisiana region to get help if their children are experiencing any of these risk indicators in school. I would also suggest that if parents are having problems, I know it can be intimidating at times to call the principal or call the school counselor because a lot of parents may not have had a good relationship with their teachers or principal when they were in school. But because there's such a push to increase academic achievement and graduation rates, things have changed in a lot of schools and a lot of school systems, and they're now reaching out to parents. And I would just say, parents, call your call your children's teachers or call the principal or call the counselor. They can always help.
And also, although I'm not aware of DeSoto Parish's website, the Caddo Parish School Board's website, which is www.caddo.k12.la.us, and that, I apologize if that's too much, but you can Google it. Also, there's an enormous amount of information on that website, but like Kathy said, please don't feel intimidated to contact your child's teachers, counselors, even office personnel and principals. We found that there's really a concerted effort. People individually and collectively want to help.
Well, I would say anyone involved with education, it's a tough business. People are generally there because that's where they want to be.
That's right.
Education or even the juvenile court system. And mm-hmm. I know they have some really good judges down in DeSoto. So you might want to just contact the district judge's office and ask if they have FINS officers. And if they do have FINS officers in DeSoto, they could provide some assistance to you.
Right.
Or to parents.
Another question about FINS, and I'll only give the number one more time, by the way, 800-552-8502, 800-552-8502. You can go ahead and give us a call. We're happy to take your question this evening. Do you ever run into families that are, they might have reservations about getting involved with the FINS program? And what do you tell these people if they have any concerns or maybe a stigma or something like that involved?
We do run into families that feel like they don't want someone else in their business. And we respect that. We understand that. But we have to determine whether they need, they may be in circumstances that do need some type of intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell them, just like Kathy said earlier, this is a voluntary process.
Right.
So you don't have to be involved. But if we can help, please consider it, and we would like to. And our purpose is to specifically help or make referrals to agencies who can help. And then we want them to be able to be independent. We don't want to be in their lives. We don't want to micromanage them.
Right. Just want to get them back in school.
Exactly.
That's it.
And if I could also say, Kermit, please feel free to call the FINS office. We're at 318-425-1883. And anyone who answers the phone will be happy to help you. Please feel free to call me, Janice Thompson, and I'm at extension 6076. And you don't have to just have a referral from a Caddo Parish attendance supervisor. Parents can call and say, I need help. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter where we get the referral. Our purpose is to try to make a difference for their individual circumstance.
Okay. We have more callers on the line. This is Jennifer of Shreveport. I know you've been waiting for a little while there. Thanks for being patient with us. What's your question this evening?
Hi, good afternoon. I just got the last few minutes of your program, but I wanted to address the issue of truancy for disabled people. I know it's a different issue. However, there are some children that are not, by the Disability Act, are not actually disabled, but they do have behavioral problems, and they do and are hard to get them to school and get them to participate. And sometimes parents are overwhelmed, and I cannot control them and cannot make them. Is there any addressing those issues with children with, say, ADD or any high attention deficiency disorder, what is this program also allow those children to have help and their families?
That's a very good, you brought up some very good points, Jennifer. Those are particular circumstances that are addressed on an individual level One of the organizations that we find very helpful that we make a lot of referrals to, and I don't know, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes if I make a reference to them, but there's an organization called TEAMS, Training and Education Mediation for Students, and they are very knowledgeable about the laws and how to intervene for the student, for the family, and to secure the rights that children with disabilities have under the law. And that's one of the agencies that we find to be very helpful in referring students to.
All right. Kathy, you have anything to add?
I would just like to add that this region has been awarded a pilot to implement what's called a coordinated system of care. And as a part of that, we will be offering behavioral health services in a different way. And some of those will be offered through the school system. So that those children who are currently identified as truant because of behavioral health issues, there should be within the next 6 months more services available to those children that would help them stay in school. So although that's not giving you a good answer today, within the next few months, there should be more services so that if a child is truant, there will be help on the way.
All right. We have another caller. This is Doug from Shreveport. Go ahead with your question this evening.
Sue, I'm listening. Go out and listen out there. Hello?
Hello. Yes, do you have a question?
Oh, yes. I have a comment and maybe a question. With the attendance and truancy law that requires parents to require students to be in school for 5 days, that requires that if students are absent for 5 days or more, that they need, and if there's no excuse for it, that they would be referred to the court system. We didn't go on vacation. We had business abroad, and we took our children with us. And then when we came back, we got a notice that we'll have to go to juvenile court, and that was a scary experience. And then we had to put together a package, letter and pictures and document proving that we didn't keep the children at home for no good reason. And so they excused the absences for extenuating circumstances. But that took a lot of time and a lot of explanation. And it was a scary experience for a parent. But we did it, and we got the absence excuses. But I wonder if, you know, there are a lot of parents out there who can afford to have their children travel with them when it happened to fall, like, right the week or 2 weeks before school start, or the week or 2 weeks, you know, near the end of the school year. They travel abroad to visit family or for business conferences and things like that. And they're very reluctant to do. I mean, if I have to go through it again, I wouldn't do it at all. So I wonder if the school board or the school system would make it so that parents wouldn't feel hesitant or reluctant to take their children with them, because traveling abroad, that's an education in itself, and that's worth you know, taking 5 days off straight. Wouldn't you think so? And I don't think the school board has a clear policy on how to deal with the attendance and truancy, so that people with children with parents like us, where we can take our children abroad for, right, you know, 5 days or 7 straight.
Well, it's a good question, Trina. Thanks.
A lot of parents I know have to do that sometimes.
Sure. And I'll say for myself, I've been in that situation because I've traveled abroad. What advice do you have for parents in that situation?
One suggestion that I have is if you're aware that you're going to be traveling and you have time in advance, contact the child welfare and attendance office, even if it's during the summer because they're working throughout the year, and let them know that you're going to be traveling and your children will be with you, and provide them with the documentation that they need. And that takes care of the problem in advance. Also, if you don't do that before you travel, as soon as you return, provide the information to the school so that they are aware of it. Based on what I know about attendance policy, traveling with parents is generally not an excused absence, but they can find extenuating circumstances. So you do have to be prepared to provide sufficient documentation and information so that they can find that extenuating circumstance. But the best thing to do is always notify the school system in advance.
All right. Well, this time we do have Doug from Shreveport on. I'm sorry, earlier that was Trina. But Doug, go ahead with your question this evening.
Sure. My question is somewhat about the generational truancy that we see. And are there any real strategies in place in education, especially regionally, to really light the fire under the parents to pass on that urgency for the kids to stay in school? Any outreach or any community education, just to get out there and say, this is your children's future. I mean, step up right now. I just wanted just kind of a general statement about those type of programs that may be offered.
Thanks. Good question. Go ahead.
Generally, the parent education and outreach that is done in the school systems is through the Title I department. And it depends on the individual school system as to the extent of the education efforts. I know that in Caddo Parish, this Friday night at 6 o'clock at Turner Elementary, they are having a Title I parent information meeting to provide parents with information on educational opportunities for their children, to stress the importance of attendance, to give them information on high-stakes testing. And I do know that in other parishes, they all have Title I departments that provide various education opportunities for parents. They also provide information on high-stakes testing and things of that nature. There are also other educational opportunities for parents regionally. Most of those are affiliated with Head Start offices or locations. They do provide parent education, and they do stress the importance of supporting your children through their education, learning how to work with your children when they do their homework, and things like that. Other than that, I'm not aware of any regional effort. I do know that the Alliance for Education really stresses the importance of parental involvement. And we do work with a number of schools to help increase their parental involvement, because it's one thing that you see in really high-performing schools. There is a lot of parent involvement. Also, a number of studies have shown that even children who are living in poverty, their parents believe that they are the biggest influence on their children's success. So it's imperative that the community and the schools become more open to parents volunteering at the schools and having access to teachers and their students' work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing the Alliance really encourages, is schools having a parent-friendly culture.
It seems to me that from what I'm hearing from both of you is that the main focus here is to get the information out to people so that they know that they have the resources. I know, and a lot of that we're not going to have time to get into tonight, but I know people question, well, you know, maybe we should take the parents and put them in jail because their children aren't going to school. But you're advocating, of course, parental involvement, but also helping to provide resources. Now, we just have a couple of minutes left in the program. Why don't you, you had mentioned some resources earlier. Why don't you review them again for our listeners?
One thing I haven't mentioned is mm-hmm. public libraries. Have some resources available for parents. I just got some information from the Louisiana Department of Education website that public libraries have a free online homework help. It's called Homework Louisiana, and it's powered by Tutor.com. And that's available at all public libraries in the state of Louisiana. And that provides help to parents for all Louisiana K-12 students and adults who are preparing for the GED. Mm-hmm. So any public library in Shreveport or Caddo Parish will have this online tool available to help with homework.
Right, and throughout the rest of the state as well.
So any public library in our region will have this online tool available. And so parents can visit the libraries with their children, and they can get help with their homework.
All right. Janice, anything else you wanted to?
There's also TeacherWeb that a lot of particularly elementary and middle school students, that the individual teacher for in the individual subject, if they are middle schoolers, they will post the lessons and the homework. They'll post... they provide all the information on how to get in touch with them. Mm-hmm. If you can't find it under JPAMS with the Caddo Parish site, then I would also check TeacherWeb. And it's very easy to follow. And I'm amazed at even how many of the people that we see on a daily basis, even if they don't have computers, like Kathy said, a lot of them use the libraries, both the students and the parents.
All right. And if someone wants to get in touch with either one of your office, the Alliance for Education or Volunteers for Youth Justice?
The Alliance number is 318-424-0599. And as I mentioned earlier, our website is alliance4education.org.
Okay, Janice?
And Volunteers for Youth Justice, our website is vyjla.org. And we may be reached at 318-425-1883.
Kathy Boyette of the Alliance for Education, Janice Thompson from Volunteers for Youth Justice. I want to thank you both for joining me this evening and joining all of us listening. It's a subject that we can get into much more detail. That's why we have more than one program in this series. For those of you wanting more information, we have a resource list on our website. That is redriverradio.org. This program will soon be available for download if you want to make it available for someone else to listen to. Again, that's on our website, same website. Our next program is scheduled for October 12th, and I'll also let you know on October 20th, Louisiana Public Broadcasting, that's the Louisiana Public Television Network, will be coming to the campus of LSUS for a live taping of Louisiana Public Square on this same issue. And of course, they'll be looking at it statewide and looking at governmental issues as well. And you are invited to come and be part of the live audience that'll be on the campus of LSUS. We'll have more information about that. Again, that is on our website information, redriverradio.org. This program was produced by Renee Moran with assistance from Bill Beckett, Wally Derleth, and Travis Stewart. Bill Beckett was also the audio engineer. And this program is a production of Red River Radio. I'm Kermit Poling. Good night. This is member-supported Red River Radio, a public radio service of LSUS. You're tuned to KDAQ, Shreveport, Bossier City, KLSA, Alexandria, Pineville, KBSA, El Dorado, Magnolia, and KLDN, Lufkin, Nacogdoches.